Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
In this episode of the Football History Headlines, we discuss the last time a team played an NFL game and did not throw a pass. Also remembering many of the great Hall of Famers on their birthdays, as well as their legendary stories. These and more coming up in just a moment on the Best of the Pigskin Dispatch.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And before we get into our December 3rd best of the Pigskin Dispatch, I want to make sure you're aware we have a couple new websites that we're associated with. The first one is Jersey Dispatch. Yeah, it's our sister website, and Jersey Dispatch is going to focus in on the uniforms of all sports and associate the history and the players that played the games through their uniforms. I think it's a fascinating topic. I think you'll really enjoy the website. It's in its very inaugural moments here, so there's only a few postings on there, but we're growing that each and every day. We hope to grow that and be just as big as Pigskin Dispatch is, but we're going to cover a wide array of sports eventually, and we hope you enjoy that. So check that out at jerseydispatch.com. That's associated with our pigskindispatch.com. Also, I have joined up with Oz Davis. You know him from Truly the Goats and Game Films and SHN Spotlight. Well, Oz and I have got together and we have formed a great partnership, Number 80 Productions, and we are making an audio drama on sports history to just bring sports history in another way. It's called Orville Mulligan's Sports Writer, and it is taking place in the era of the 1920s with some great sporting events that happened in 1924 in our first season here. I think you're really going to enjoy it because we have some really talented actors that are portraying the parts of Orville Mulligan Doug and Alana Fye, Eric Bodwell, and others are really coming to grips and showing us some great talent of voice acting on podcasts, audio dramas, and some great sound effects, and I think a great storyline you're really going to enjoy. You can check out the pilot episode at OrvilleMulligan.com, another one of our websites that you can check out there. Now, let's get into December 3rd's football history headlines.
We are going to go through all the headlines that we can find. It's going to include a lot of Grey Cups, a lot of championship games from the SEC, ACC, and Big 12, and many, many, many Heisman Trophy winners were awarded on this day. So let's not delay any further, and we'll go right at it and start off on December 3rd, 1921, at Varsity Stadium in Toronto at the 9th Grey Cup. It was played, and the Toronto Argonauts took home their second championship title as they defeated the Edmonton Eskimos 23-0 per the HonestDay.com website. December 3rd, 1932, at the AAA grounds in Hamilton, Ontario, the Hamilton Tigers took out the Regina Rough Riders 25-6 for their fifth championship in the 20th played Grey Cup. December 3rd, 1933, per Vice.com, Joe the Midnight Express Lilliard, who was the halfback / quarterback for the Chicago Cardinals, became the last African-American to play in the NFL until the year 1946. Lilliard played during the 1932 and the 1933 seasons for the Cards, and he averaged almost 10 yards rushing per attempt for a total of 494 yards, and he threw for another 372 in his 18 games he appeared in. December 3rd, 1943, the 9th Heisman Trophy Award belonged to Notre Dame's quarterback Angelo Bertelli. per the Heisman.com website, Bertelli was the very first player to win the award from the Downtown Athletic Club for the Fighting Irish. Angela finished high in the voting for the Heisman the two previous years as he ran and passed out of Coach Frank Leahy's T-formation offense. As the biography on the awards webpage tells us, in 1946, Bertelli inked a deal with the Los Angeles Dons of the All-American Football Conference. Later, Angelo Bertelli played with the Chicago Rockets during the 1947 and 48 seasons. And after several knee injuries, he retired prior to the 1949 season. December 3, 1944. Wartime left the NFL inventory extremely sparse, so a couple of the teams decided to go the clever way to survive. The Pittsburgh Steelers and the Chicago Cardinals chose to try a temporary merger of the two NFL teams with an agreement that it would dissolve at the end of the season. World War II ended before the start of the 1945 season, so both teams resumed normal operations. The Sports History Network's resident Chicago Cardinals expert Joe Zimba has a podcast on the event, and you can check it out by the link on our webpage, pigskindispatch.com, or go right to Joe Zimba's podcast called When Football Was Football, episode number 3, and it's found on the sportshistorynetwork.com. December 3rd, 1946. Glenn Davis, the halfback from the Army team, wins the 12th Heisman Trophy. Heisman.com educates us that in 1946, Davis as a senior scored 13 touchdowns on 712 yards rushing. He also caught 20 passes for 348 yards and tossed passes for another 396 yards and 4 scores. Glenn Davis was awarded the Heisman over Charlie Trippi of Georgia and the previous season's winner, Doc Blanchard, who finished 5th in the voting. December 3rd, 1949, at the 14th Iron Bowl, it was played, and Alabama entered the game with a 6-2 record, while the Auburn Tigers were struggling with a 1-4-3 record. AuburnTigers.com fills us in on the details. The Tigers were not supposed to be winning, but they were late in the fourth quarter. But Alabama had scored with less than 2 minutes, though, and to close the Tigers' lead to 14-13. Because of the rules in that day, there was not a two-point conversion. So the Tide attempted a routine extra point kick, but it sailed wide, and Auburn hung on to a 14-13 victory. December 3rd, 1950. The Cleveland Browns were the last NFL team to play a game in which they did not throw a single pass. TheEnquirer.com has a great article on the game where they determined that it was a combination of some less than perfect weather, bulletin board material that got the Browns fired up, and some disciplined sound football by the Cleveland where they all did their job as the Browns defeated the two-time champion Philadelphia Eagles by the score of 13-7 without throwing a pass. Pretty remarkable when we look at it from this day. December 3rd, 1957, the 23rd Heisman Trophy went to Texas A&M halfback John Crow. Heisman.com states that Crow was the only player to win the Heisman that was coached by the legendary Bear Bryant. That's a pretty amazing fact all by itself. But the other fact is, yeah, it's right, Coach Bear Bryant was with the Aggies in the mid-1950s before he went to Alabama. John Crow earned the award by having the season where he rushed for 562 yards and 6 touchdowns, caught 2 receptions, and threw 5 touchdown passes as the Aggies reached the top spot in the polls. After school, Crow was the second overall player selected in the 1958 NFL draft by the Chicago Cardinals, and his NFL career lasted 11 seasons. Now we're going to have some quick hitter headlines. December 3rd, 1962. The 1963 NFL draft saw Terry Baker from Oregon State become the first pick by the Los Angeles Rams. December 3rd, 1966. Alabama blanks Auburn 31-0 in the 31st Iron Bowl, which was played at Legion Field in Birmingham. December 3rd, 1972, at Ivor Wynne Stadium in Hamilton, the hometown crowds got to see their Hamilton Tiger Cats defeat the Saskatchewan Roughriders 13-10 in the Grey Cup. December 3rd, 1979, USC's talented running back Charles White became the 45th Heisman Trophy Award winner. December 3rd, 1983, the 49th Heisman Trophy Award was earned by Mike Rozier, the powerful runner from Nebraska. December 3rd, 1983, at Legion Field in Birmingham, the Auburn Tigers held on tight to get a 23-20 victory over Alabama in the 48th Iron Bowl. And that's your quick hitter headlines for today. But that's just the end of the quick hitter headlines. We've got plenty more football history headlines where we'll go into more detail because we've got some juicy stories, including this one that happened on December 3rd, 1988. The Oklahoma State Cowboys saw their talented junior running back Barry Sanders win the 54th Heisman Trophy Award. Heisman.com tells us how the voting was not even close as Barry swept all six voting regions to win the award. Barry ran for 2,628 yards on the ground and carrying an unbelievable average of 238.9 yards per game. You heard it right. Every game, he averaged 238.9 in college. Amazing as a junior. Put those gaudy numbers with his 37 rushing touchdowns, a punt return back taken back to the house, and a kickoff return touchdown to bring his regular season total touchdowns to 39. Barry Sanders in 1988 season churned out a remarkable record of 3,250 all-purpose yards and averaged 8.3 yards per play as Oklahoma State finished 9-2 and finished 12th in the polls. December 3rd, 1994, at the third SEC Championship game, it was the number 6 Florida Gators edging out number 3 Alabama 24-23. December 3rd, 2005, the very first ACC Championship game was held, and number 22 Florida State upset number 5 Virginia Tech 27-22. Now let's take a break from our football history headlines for just a moment. Focus in on that subscribe button on the Embed Player. Click it so you get all the podcasts released right to you as soon as we release them. Also, you can reach us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Right now, I've got a message from one of my friends at the Sports History Network.
This is Jeremy McFarland from the Footballist Family Podcast. And I'm going to encourage you, if you get a chance, to come over to the Footballist Family Podcast, where we look at what makes football special and family to each person. We talk about each team and we talk about the stories behind why fans love those teams. I encourage you to come and join us in our discussion. Thank you.
All right, it's that time in our program where we're going to talk about the December 3rd Hall of Fame birthdays, and we'll start off in the year 1887 in Boston, Massachusetts. Harvard's legendary guard Bob Fischer came into this life. The NFF has a great bio on Bob Fischer, and I encourage you to check it out as the link we shared on our website, pigskindispatch.com. Bob was large for his time, weighing in at 206 pounds, and was quick and agile to boot. And the traits made him the dominant on the line of scrimmage, so much so that after the 1910 and 1911 seasons, Walter Camp placed Fischer on his All-America teams. The National Football Foundation selected Bob Fischer to enter into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1973. December 3rd, 1894, at St. Louis Park, Minnesota, Burt Baston, the terrific end from the University of Minnesota, was born. The NFL voters chose Burt Baston to enter into their College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1954. December 3rd, 1922, Guadalajara, Mexico. Tom Fears was born and went on to be the great end of both Santa Clara and the UCLA, according to the footballfoundation.org website. Fears was on Santa Clara's team when he was a sophomore, and then he left to serve in the U.S. Air Force. After his military stint, he followed his brother to UCLA, where during his 1946 junior season, the Bruins went through the regular season undefeated as the nation's fourth-ranked team. UCLA was an exciting team as they ran the triple pass play, a forward pass, a lateral, and a lateral. It was Case to Baldwin, Baldwin to Fears, to Clements. The National Football Foundation selected Tom Fears to enter into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1976. After graduation, Fears joins the Los Angeles Rams as a defensive player, but was quickly converted back to the offensive side of the ball. As a professional, Tom led the league in receiving in three straight years from 1948 through 1950 per the ProFootballHOF.com website. Fears also had a big game in the 1950 division title contest when he caught three touchdown passes. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined Tom Fears in the year 1970. December 3rd, 1957, in Allentown, Pennsylvania, Penn State offensive tackle Keith Dorney arrived into this life. The footballfoundation.org website states that in 1978, Dorney was a unanimous All-American selection. The NFF selected Keith Dorney to enter into their College Football Hall of Fame in 2005. Keith was selected by the Detroit Lions with the 10th overall selection in the 1979 NFL Draft, and he played there for 9 seasons. Well, that's it for the football history headlines for this December 3rd, and we hope you tune back tomorrow for December 4th's football history headlines as we talk about the G-men firing their coach and GM. Herschel Walker wins the Heisman, and the first Grey Cup game ever was played on that date, December 4th. So tune in tomorrow. You can subscribe, and as soon as we release the episode, you'll get notification right away. You can go to pigskindispatch.com and check it every day. You can email us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Go to your favorite podcast aggregate or go to sportshistorynetwork.com where you can see this podcast and many more great sporting podcasts by my friends at the podcast there as well, as there's all kinds of great shows that you will definitely want to check out. So we'll see you tomorrow for some more great gridiron history. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Offices of the Pittsburgh Guardian newspaper circa 1924. But for Marla Delft, assistant editor, everything was about to change. For she was about to discover the awesome attractiveness of Row One brand retro sports paraphernalia items thanks to Orville Mulligan, sports writer.
And there it is.
Wow, Orville, that's really the bee's knees.
Isn't it just? A poster-sized replica of the actual 1909 World Series program cover.
I can see that. But where did you get it? And where'd you get it framed?
I ordered it from the Row One website, where over 6,000 items of sports memorabilia from the 1880s to the 1990s are available for reproduction in multiple sizes and in several different materials, with over a dozen styles of frame to choose from for prints like this.
Well, I'm sure Mr. Delft would love to put up more of these in the office. But I'm equally as sure they're beyond this newspaper's budget.
Not at all, my dear Marla. See for yourself. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com/row1.
sportshistorynetwork.com/row1. Oh my, these are good prices. Oh, and look at this stuff. Oklahoma-Nebraska football. College basketball art. Michael Jordan items.
And so it was that Marla Delft discovered the splendiferous magic of Row One sports memorabilia arts and prints. You can, too, by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/row1. That's ROW number 1 today for access to the full Row 1 catalog of gallery prints and gifts like t-shirts, long-sleeve shirts, telephone cases, coffee mugs, blankets, pillows, towels, and even shower curtains. Act today for 15% discount off all prints with coupon code SHN15 and 20% off all other items with coupon code SHN20. Check out and keep your dial locked to the Sports History Network for the exciting chronicles of the 1920 sports world in Orville Mulligan, sports writer, coming soon.
Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, aka the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.